Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater. This powerful heater puts out 78% more heat than big box heaters, seven times its size, and can heat up to 1,000 square feet. Get your Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater today at EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word Howie10 and you'll save $10 and get free shipping.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
President Biden ending his first year with so many challenges. Why that's leaving Democrats panicked and frustrated.
The Biden administration has mismanaged COVID. It has mismanaged inflation. It has mismanaged the border. And it has mismanaged foreign policy all in one year. If the aliens landed tomorrow and said, take me to your leader, it would be embarrassing.
Foolish humans.
Oh, yes, Kudos. Earth is now ripe for the plucking.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Choo-choo! All aboard the Ladybug Express.
And of course, you won't be surprised to know, the president has a special interest in trains. And he'll talk to you about it for a very, very long time. And he knows more about it than many engineers.
My name is Joe Amtrak Biden.
I like trains.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Bruce from the Mets. He lives in Seacoast, New Hampshire. He comes in sometimes to the VIP days and sees us at our remotes, and a couple of years ago, he brought in one of his high school or childhood friends with him, and they were hanging out together, and I just got a sad text from Bruce. Lost my best friend since first grade because of COVID. He was diabetic and very overweight. Dan was with me in the studio a couple of years ago. He was my catcher as a kid when we were kids. 62 years of friendship. Brutal. I'm sorry, Bruce. Our condolences. He seemed like a nice guy when he was in the studio, as I recall. 844-500-4242. You know, the one thing that we haven't talked about, it's pretty amazing. You know, they talk about the supply chain crisis, and I think we'll get to it later on. Let people talk about what they're missing. People are texting in. They went to the store, three different stores, looking for cumin. Is it C-U-M-I-N? And they couldn't find any. And the mailroom manager told me she couldn't find cilantro today at the store.
Cilantro,
excuse me. Again, I don't know what these things are. We got two
she
things.
She couldn't find cilindra at the.
Well, I don't know what it is. It's cilantro. She uses it. She puts it in her eggs, I think. Another guy that's down here in Florida couldn't find cinnamon. We had a couple of containers of cinnamon, so we're okay for a while with the cinnamon. And somebody else told me they went in a coffee shop today and said, give me some creamer. They said, we don't have any creamer. Is gone? God, that's bad. What are you supposed to do? I mean, I drink it black, so I don't really care. But, you know, I mean, that seems like real basic stuff. But we'll get to that in a little while. But, you know, one of the problems is not just, not having any truckers or not having any container ships or not being able to unload them. In places like L.A., they're actually now looting the freight trains that are coming through Union Pacific in the case of Los Angeles. And Powerline Blog has a great story about it. One of the signs that Ronald Reagan noted as an indication that the Soviet Union had entered a state of advanced decrepitude socially and economically were news reports in late 1980 before the election when he beat Jimmy Carter. In both the Washington Post and the LA Times, the three separate freight trains bound from Moscow to Odessa simply disappeared, apparently the victims of piracy. And so they have here a letter to George Gascon. He's the district attorney of L.A., and he's a George Soros puppet. And they're not prosecuting anyone. So the Union Pacific, the big railroad, is writing him a letter complaining about the fact that they're not prosecuting anybody. They've got great cooperation with the LAPD, with the LA Sheriff's Department. Of course, they have the Railroad Police, which they've been around for 150 years, I guess, and they do a lot of work. But they arrest people, and the guy who runs the his name is Adrian Guerrero, who runs Union Pacific. He says, of all these arrests, however, UP has not been contacted for any court proceedings. And this is really amazing that that a company would write this to a local prosecutor. They're really like laying it all out here in what I'm about to read you. But even with these expanded resources and closer partnerships with local law enforcement, we find ourselves coming back to the same results with the Los Angeles County criminal justice system. Criminals are caught and arrested, turned over to local authorities for booking, arraigned before the local courts, charges are reduced to a misdemeanor or petty offense, and the criminal is released after paying a nominal fine. These individuals are generally caught and released back onto the streets in less than 24 hours. Even with all the arrests made, the no cash bail policy and extended time frame for suspects to appear in court is causing re-victimization to UP, Union Pacific, by these same criminals. In fact, criminals boast to our officers that charges will be pled down to simple trespassing, which bears no serious consequences. Without any judicial deterrence or consequence, it is no surprise that over the past year, UP has witnessed significant increases in criminal rail theft described above. So they're saying basically they're going to try to pull out of LA County if nothing's done. And it's just going to make the supply chain crisis even worse. And, George Soros is happy about this. His man, George Gascon, is really excited. I was talking to a guy on Sunday night, he's a very prosperous guy. Lived in Brentwood, where OJ lived. He was a neighbor of OJ's and Nicole's, and he said he's never going back. He can't take it anymore. He just can't deal with it being in LA. And I said, real estate down here is insane in Florida. And I said, how's real estate in California? He said, well, it was pretty good 6 months ago, but now it's very stagnant because, it doesn't seem like anybody wants to live here anymore. Huh. I wonder why. Have you seen these pictures of these trains being looted? And, FedEx uses the trains, U.S. Postal Service uses the trains to move parcel post packages. They're going to pull out because they can't deal with this. So what are they going to do? They can't put armed guards on these trains because, can you imagine the Democrats, how that crazy they would go if you started shooting these? And they're recruiting these bums to do the criminal gangs are recruiting these bums, just saying, you're not going to get arrested. They're just going to fine you. We'll pay you the money. And so they go about it, and they just come back out. They get arrested, and they go back out, and they're working the next day.
You ever see Emperor of the North?
Yes, I
have. Where's Ernest Borgnine when you need him?
That's what I'm saying. They're not making railroad police like they used to, Taylor, right? I mean, it's look at those guys, the same ones, Averill Harriman's railroad police were chasing Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Those guys used to be pretty tough people, and you didn't screw around with railroad police back in those days. They still got them, but they can't do anything. But guess what? Neither can the LAPD or the Sheriff's Department. Jeff, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Howie, I just got a quick comment for you. Up here in Auburn, Maine, I went grocery shopping. I do all the groceries, but I went grocery shopping a couple weeks ago, and I usually go in the morning, but this time I went about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And yeah.
One of the major chains. I'm going down through, and there's nothing on the shelves in the meat department. No chicken. And then when I get to checkout, the lines are a mile long. It wasn't that they didn't have anything; it's they didn't have anybody to stock the shelves. So if you don't get there in the morning, it's gone, and they can't get stuff out for you.
man. It's just bad all around. I mean, nobody's working, you know, or they're just taking time off whenever they want to because they can't be replaced. So yeah, they've got to just cut off the welfare for all these people. And the other thing is now they're requiring or they're about to require that all truckers that are coming in from Canada to the U.S. or going from the U.S. into Canada have to show vaccine passports. So in other words, if you're a productive person delivering goods, needed goods between Canada and the U.S., you have to show your vaccine passport. But if you're just a teen mom from Guatemala or a fentanyl dealer or a guy with tattoos who wants to come up to Revere or Chelsea and join an MS-13 crew, you can just come right on through. You don't have to show any vaccine pass. You don't have to get vaccinated. You don't have to wear a mask. As long as you're an illegal alien, you can do whatever the hell you please. But if you're a truck driver, you're going to have to show a vaccine passport if you cross the borders. It's quite a situation. Thank you very much, Brandon, President Brandon. I'm going to start calling. I think I'm going to vary between Dementia Joe and Brandon. I like the way DeSantis calls him Brandon or the Brandon administration. 844-500-4242. 808 says it could be worse. You could be a pastor in Canada. Yeah, the pastors are getting arrested. That Polish guy who has the church, and he keeps getting arrested because he's trying to hold services. To make the best investment decisions, you need the best information. That's why you need to subscribe to the Liberty Through Wealth newsletter. Inside this newsletter, you'll discover 10 inexpensive small-cap stocks that offer outstanding profit potential and dividend payouts. Alex Green has found under-the-radar stocks and believes they should be the cornerstone of your retirement in the coming years. You can also learn which small caps can deliver high-yield income payments that more than rival expensive blue-chip stocks. A team of experts headed by Alexander Green will show you exactly how to grow and protect what you have as well as manage risk. Stay ahead of Biden's inflation and keep your wealth out of the hands of the tax man. The newsletter will help you achieve and maintain total financial independence. To subscribe and learn more, go to onestockretirement.com. That's onestockretirement.com. I'm Howie Carr.
Want to know what Howie is reading before the show?
All right, now let's see. Where were we? Oh, yeah. In the pit of despair.
Take a look at Howie's homework at howiecarshow.com. Say what you will about him.
He's a common, ignorant slob. He don't even speak good English.
He doesn't even speak good English.
He's Howie Carr, and he's here to stay.
An army of homeless men roamed the land, stealing rides on the railroads. They were nomads who lived by no law but their own, and dedicated to their destruction was the railroad man who stood between them and the trains.
The difference being these guys aren't nomads. They just live in hobo cities, Hoovervilles, as they used to call them. But now they're Bidenvilles. And they just go and they steal stuff, and then they get arrested, and they get a pat on the shoulder from the George Soros DA, and they go back the next day, and they steal some more stuff. And just be lucky that if they don't steal your stuff, and they just steal your neighbor's stuff. Have you seen the local TV stations go down there and they're just picking stuff up, and if they don't like the looks of something, they just toss it aside. I mean, but you're not going to get it one way or another, whether they steal it or just throw it down on the train tracks. It's just, what a mess. What a mess the Democrats have wrought here. This is democracy in action, the fundamental transformation of America into a third world hellhole. This new year, let HelloFresh deliver fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and recipes to your door. Get 16 free meals plus 3 gifts with code Howie16 at HelloFresh.com/Howie16. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Now that Omicron is fading, will there soon be another variant to keep the panic going?
Yes, another con.
97% say yes.
Someone says the mid-germ variant is like, you know, midterm. That's another one. Yes, it definitely will be another one.
Ha, 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 ha.
844-500-4242-508. Market Basket is taking things from other aisles, putting them into semi-empty aisles, and stretching products across the shelves to fill the gaps. It's a mess. Many in my family are talking about this. I think everybody's talking about, you know, maybe they're doing it different markets. But, I mean, there's just not a lot of stuff out there. It's disappearing. And I think it's going to get worse with this. It could get worse with this trucking situation, depending on how they play it out. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Howie. I have a good friend, my buddy Rick, who I went to high school with down in Louisiana years ago when we were stationed at Barksdale Air Force Base. But yeah, he's a trucker, and he goes all over the country, and he works for a company that delivers Peterbilt. And you know, sometimes you'll see a Peterbilt driving down the highway with two other Peterbilts hooked up to it.
Right.
And that's his company that's going to drop off and deliver trucks to these dealerships or, you know, firms that, you know, were trucking firms and what have you. So he's in Burlington, Vermont last week, and I saw it on Facebook, and I called him, said, "Hey, Rick, you know, what's happening? I want to tell you about a great place to go get a beer." And he said, "Well, I can't go get a beer right now because I'm getting ready to get back on the plane, and I have to leave the three trucks that I brought up here to Burlington because I was going to Quebec, Montreal."
What's the point?
They won't let me in.
They won't let you in? Well, I thought that was only going to start on tomorrow. It already started on him.
They wouldn't let him in last week because he was unvaccinated. But 2 weeks ago, he took a bunch of trucks up to Calgary to drop him off, and they let him in.
What if he told him he was an illegal alien?
Right. So he had to leave three trucks and fly back to Louisiana. Hmm. And now they got to figure out what they're going to do with these trucks and how to get them into Canada.
What a mess.
So they got to find something.
What a bleeping mess. And for what? I know a lot of people have gotten sick, but very few people have died from this latest outburst. And but they want to keep it going. And what reason? Do the public health experts, they think that they're going to have all their shopping handled by somebody else? They're going to be able to get paper products, meats at Walmart that nobody else can get? I don't think so. They're going to be affected just like the rest of us. Thanks for the call, Bob. Carl, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, Howie, I think it's pretty ingenious. All these guys out in California figured out that they no longer have to go into stores to steal stuff. They can just get it right from the source.
They're cutting out the middleman, Carl. I hadn't
exactly
thought of it that way.
Yeah, more profit in it for them.
Yeah, it's just amazing, though, isn't it, that the things are this out of control? I mean, how does this make society better? By letting trains be looted, and again, it's gonna mean that they're not gonna be running any more freight trains into the second largest metropolitan area in the country. You know, how is that gonna make things better in LA for anybody, including the bums who are robbing these trains at the behest of the organized criminal looting gangs? Nobody is gonna benefit from this. Except, you know, those who are supporting the fundamental transformation of America into a third world hellhole. But I don't get it. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Glenn Youngkin's first days as the new governor of Virginia, and about what he's been doing, and it's just been great so far. And as a Powerline blog was saying yesterday, and it's early, but he seems to be going in the Ron DeSantis mode of just trying to clean up all the messes that have been left behind by the Democrats. I think they need a Glenn Youngkin or a Ron DeSantis in California, or at least in Los Angeles. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. As you know, Glenn Youngkin, the new Republican governor of Virginia, was sworn in on Saturday. We told you on Friday that the University of Virginia had decided to impose a new vaccine mandate on the students, faculty, and staff at UVA in Charlottesville. And if you wanted to re-register for the spring semester, you had to download your vaccine passport by the end of business on Friday, when Ralph Northam, the Democrat Klansman, blackface governor, was still in office. So they were just trying to sneak stuff in and force you to get the vaccine before Youngkin was going to come in and do away with the vaccine mandates and the mask mandates. And it just... this is how nasty they are, you know, and they're very insurrectionist, these Democrats, to coin a phrase from the text line. Joining us now on the line is Terry Schilling. He's the president of the American Principles Project. It's a conservative think tank, and they do a lot of work on behalf of family issues. And he's here to talk about what Glenn Youngkin has been up to his first couple of days in office. Thanks for being with us, Terry Schilling.
Hey, thanks for having me, Howie. And I just got to say, all my in-laws are from Dedham, Massachusetts, and they are so excited that you invited me on your show today.
Oh, that's good. My my daughter is a teacher in Dedham, Massachusetts. She's out on maternity leave right now, but she loves Dedham. We love Dedham. It's near Mumbles Menino's old hometown of Boston, in Hyde Park. Terry, how is he doing? How's Youngkin doing? He's getting a lot of pushback, isn't he, from the Democrat remnants in Richmond?
Yeah, well, so Glenn Youngkin is taking office with guns a-blazing, as I would like to say. He came in first day, he signed a series of executive orders. The first and probably most controversial is the executive order on mask mandates. Essentially, he got rid of them as it pertains to public schools, and essentially says that parents can elect to remove the mask from their children, and they don't have to give a reason why. It's one of the strongest executive orders in this area that I've seen yet. And the other thing that he's done that he's catching some flack over is his banning of critical race theory and banning the funding of that. This guy is not backing down either, which I think some people are surprised at. I'm not, because he campaigned on these issues, but he's come out guns a-blazing with some very strong executive orders, and parents here in Virginia are thrilled, and we're just hoping that he keeps fighting on this and doesn't back down.
Didn't Terry McAuliffe say during the campaign that there was no such thing as critical race theory in the Virginia public schools? And now that his Democrats are angry that they've done away with critical race theory, which they told us in the fall didn't exist.
No, but Howie, you're onto something big. And technically what they're telling is a half-truth, which all major lies and big lies are half-truths. So, yes, technically there are no classes in our public schools called critical race theory. It's much worse than that, though, Howie. It's in the DNA of our schools. Critical race theory is being used to train our teachers on how they conduct their classes and how they issue grades and all of that. It's in the DNA. And so what Glenn Youngkin is doing is he's getting rid of all of these policies that are being used to force our kids into racist ideologies that, you know, teach our kids that they're either a victim class or an oppressor class. So, he's getting a lot of flack, and, yeah, Terry McAuliffe tried to pull one over on the voters of Virginia, but they didn't bite.
You know, I was listening. Every morning I listened to a Washington radio station, Chris Plant, and they had a Virginia state senator on the news, one of the newscasts today, and he was saying, well, you know, I don't know about this mask mandate. You know, we don't see the mask mandate as being permanent. It's just a temporary thing. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. I remember 15 days to flatten the curve. That was almost 2 years ago. I mean, how many times can they tell people that this is only a temporary thing? I mean, it's obviously not for these Democrats, is it?
No, that's exactly right, Howie. And the biggest rule for public policy and law is nothing stops unless someone makes it stop. these things will go on into perpetuity unless someone stands up. And what happened this past election is millions of parents stood up and went to the polls and elected Glenn Youngkin, the first Republican, by the way, to be elected in Virginia since 2009. This was a big deal, and he has a mandate. He has every right. He has the backing of the people to get rid of this, and it's not going away until you make it go away. These government bureaucrats, they will latch on to power. And look at TSA. I mean, why do we still take our shoes off? 25 years after all of that stuff happened, like, this is crazy. And this stuff will keep going until you make it stop.
Yeah, did the terrorist who did take over the synagogue in suburban Dallas, did he have to take off his shoes when he boarded the flight in London to come over here? I rather doubt it, you know. But anyway, how about the fact that in Northern Virginia, though, they announced as soon as he announced that he was doing away with the mask mandate, all these Democrats in these affluent Northern Virginia counties overrun with government bureaucrats from inside the Beltway, they all announced they were restoring the mandates. It's like they're insurrectionists.
No, that's exactly right. I thought we were supposed to follow the law and follow the experts, right, and follow the science. And listen, Howie, the science is very clear on this. Cloth masks, which, by the way, is what 90% of kids are wearing in these schools, don't do anything to stop this spread. And by the way, we have to remember, there are thousands of schools across the country where they're not allowed to wear masks. You know, Florida has actually banned mask mandates at the local level.
Right.
There's a whole bright world out there with maskless, smiling children in our schools, and Virginia now has an opportunity. But these woke progressive activists that are running our schools here love the oppression. They love covering the smiling faces of our children. And we have to ask, why? Why do they want to cover the smiling faces of our children? It's because they're evil.
The same CDC that's mandated masks, I'm reading now from the Federalist, admitted on Friday, again, always when you do a news dump, especially before a three-day weekend, that the thin cloth masks the agency and its corporate media allies spent the last 2 years cheering actually, quote, provide the least protection, unquote, against COVID-19. It was, quote, the first time the CDC has explicitly addressed the ineffectiveness of cloth masks. And that's according to the New York Times, which is one of the leading purveyors of panic porn in the country. They're admitting it.
Well, Howie, they're admitting it, and you're starting to see this trickle. And keep watching, because this trickle is going to turn into a waterfall here pretty soon. They are admitting all the flaws and errors where they've been wrong, right? They're already. Did you know that the federal government now, starting in February, will no longer require hospitals to report deaths of COVID victims? This is all starting to fall apart, and there are still these morons, I'm sorry for lack of a better word, but there are these morons that want to continue the insanity, right? And that's what we're dealing
with. That's one of Fauci's favorite words, morons.
Oh, he's a real peach, yeah. Isn't he?
We've got we're talking to Terry Schilling, the president of the American Principles Project. By the way, there was a snowstorm again. There was a recent snowstorm when Northam was still governor, and Glenn Youngkin was blamed for it because he's the Republican, even though he wasn't the governor yet. And but there's been another snowstorm since he's been inaugurated. Was I-95 a disaster like it was when Northam was the governor a couple of weeks ago?
I-95, there were hardly any problems this past week when we had a snowstorm. And,
go
and
figure.
By the way, there was, I think, just as much snow this go around. So, you know, I'm wondering why there were problems. And frankly, it could be because our Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, he might have still been on maternity leave from having a baby.
Well, now, you know, I noticed another thing that happened last week. You know, you also got, in addition to getting a new governor, you got a Republican governor, you got a Republican lieutenant governor, and you also got a Republican attorney general who replaced another Democrat who's been known to wear blackface. Now, and I noticed that the transsexual kid in Loudoun County that attacked two young women in a in a girl's room, a women's restroom, while he was wearing a dress. He settled up his case before the new attorney general could get into office. Is there any connection there that he pleaded it out last week before the Republican could take over the AG's office in Richmond?
You know, I don't put anything beyond these Democrats. They love protecting sexual predators and accusing perfectly innocent people of sexual crimes that they never even had a chance to do, as we saw with Brett Kavanaugh. But listen, if my only piece of advice to the Loudoun County officials, and even in my county where I live, Fairfax County, if you've been involved in these types of corrupt dealings, you should probably lawyer up here pretty soon, because we've got a new sheriff in town. This new Jason Miera is our new attorney general here. He's very strong, and he's going to be doing some investigations, and you guys better be covering your tails, because justice is coming. The people are demanding it.
How about the situation at the University of Virginia? It didn't get much play, but I thought that was just such a loathsome thing that they did, trying to force the students to get vaccines, these booster shots, which appear to be ineffective at best. Is there going to be any pushback from the governor or the board of trustees or the new board of trustees at UVA about what they tried to push through there at the last moment?
You know, after seeing Glenn Youngkin's executive orders on day one regarding the masks and critical race theory in schools, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts coming and cracking down on these schools that are going out of line. Listen, we saw the University of Chicago, their editorial board at their student newspaper, they wrote a lengthy article tearing apart the vaccine mandate at the University of Chicago. And, you know, I'm from Illinois. I know Chicago. That is a woke, progressive city. And to have that type of pushback from students at the University of Chicago, I think that should give hope to schools and students and families across the country that people are standing up. They're starting to see the insanity. Howie, I think we're supposed to trust our public health institutions, right? That there's a reason why they're in power. And they have taken advantage of their power so badly that even woke activists at the University of Chicago's student newspaper are seeing through it and calling it out. So I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing a lot more pushback across the country.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, that's Bernie Sanders' alma mater, the University of Chicago. So what can these districts that are going up in Northern Virginia, they have the right, though, don't they, under the concept of local control, they have the right to continue the mask mandates if they want. Is that correct?
That's incorrect, actually, Howie.
No?
So how it works is, these school districts are technically charters of the state. And what that means is that you can't form a city without approval from the state, and you have to follow the state's guidelines. And how Glenn Youngkin wrote his executive order, it's very specific and it's very direct. Parents are in charge of whether or not their children have to wear masks. So what's going to happen is these schools can try and enforce their mandates and send the kids to the police. I don't know how they're going to enforce their mask mandates, because schools here don't have police forces. So this is going to go to the courts. It's going to be fought there. And parents are going to have to risk sending their kids to school without a mask. You know, they're going to put a lot of pressure on these schools to go along with this. But yeah, no, local school districts and even local cities, those are charged.
So they're literally defying Virginia law. These school boards, these county commissioners that are going saying you still have to keep wearing a mask to go to public school.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're essentially state-based insurrectionists. And they're going against the executive orders of the governor. And the thing is, the governor of Virginia is the executive branch, right? He executes the law. The law enforcement bodies report to him. And if they don't do what he says, then they get fired and they have to find a new job.
I think in Richmond, they need a January 15th select committee to investigate these insurrections in the northern part of the state.
Hey, I support anything to crack down on these corrupt public schools. These teachers' unions, the school boards, all of that, it's so corrupted and it's all been just bubbling up. There's a lot that an investigation would uncover. I mean, if they're pushing critical race theory and they're being this brazen on the mask and vaccine policies, you know there are other major problems within these school districts that can be uncovered.
Well, that kid in the dress, I mean, you know, instead of being prosecuted, they just send him to another school and he does the same thing. And then they let him plead out and he has to go to, some halfway house for a couple of months. It's just amazing. We're speaking to Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project. If people want to learn more about your group, Terry, where do they go?
It's very simple. It's just AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. and it's principles like the founding principles, not school principles. And then if you want to follow me on social media, my social media handles across Instagram and Twitter and Getter and all that are just Schilling, S-C-H-I-L-L-I-N-G, 1776.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for being with us. Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project, to talk about what's going on in Virginia. It's a sic semper tyrannis, thus always to tyrants, the Democrats that were running the state. Those were the tyrannis. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
He regret it to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
You know, I must say that I was one of the people who thought that maybe Youngkin was going to go Charlie Parker or Chris Christie on us or Larry Hogan. But he seems to be the real deal. And it's really a good thing. Virginia needed it. A lot of the whole country needs more people like Youngkin to do something about this. So Ralph Northam, the Klansman, and the guy who's been in blackface, just a loathsome figure, the former Virginia governor, who was almost run out of office. But there was a big problem because his lieutenant governor, a guy named Fairfax, he was a credibly accused of rape in both Durham, North Carolina, and Boston at the Democrat convention in 2004, where Kerry was nominated. So they didn't want to get rid of him to put a guy who'd been accused of rape in two different locations, although he was never charged. But anyway, talk about this. This is a classic projection by the Democrats. We always say this. They are doing whatever they accuse you of doing. So this is Ralph Northam, you know, taking a victory lap on MSNBC after his disastrous governorship, his terrible, terrible stewardship of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so he's talking about how Youngkin was elected campaigning against critical race theory, which, you know, again, it was going on in the state schools. But here's what he has to say. Cut 25.
A critical race theory is nothing more than a dog whistle. We don't teach critical race theory. It's not a part of our curriculum in K through 12 schools. What it also says, and perhaps more importantly, is that anger and fear are very strong emotions. And, you know, I think their campaign was a lot based on that, was out there provoking fear and anger in people, and they responded to it.
What did the Democrats campaign on? Anger and fear and racial division. And this is a guy who posed for his medical school yearbook in a Klan hood, and he's accusing somebody else of using racist dog whistles. The absolute breathtaking hypocrisy and chutzpah of people like Ralph Northam. And he's a physician. He's not even that bright. You can tell it just by listening to him. He's a dumbass on top of everything else, on top of being the sleaziest kind of demagogue. Ugh. It's, you know, there was a reason why in the South they always had, you were term limited to one term. And thank goodness that he's gone after one term. I'm sorry that states like North Carolina got rid of the one-term limits. 844-500-4. I'm sorry that like Massachusetts doesn't have a two-year term for governor still. More elections for more people. I'm Howie Carr.